Hello, it's Matt, and this is a proud podcast. If you were a language trainer and consultant in your early 30s and then diagnosed with aggressive throat cancer, would you want to go to the Himalayas? Well, this man did. Hello and welcome to a proud podcast with me, Matthew Broomhead. As we record this in May 2020, we're still very much in the middle of COVID-19 crisis, so I hope you're safe and I hope you're well. Last episode, we started to explore the proud system that I created a long time ago of presenting relationships, outcome, understanding and direction. And last time we had the five stages of persuasive public speaking. This week, because of the COVID-19 situation, I thought it would be useful for us to continue to explore and ensure that we are mentally and physically feeling well in ourselves, because a lot of us are confined in lockdown to our own homes and families. So I thought I would ask somebody I know who's a life and health coach. I used to be a linguistics expert, fascinating history, which you'll hear about in a few moments' time. And he's also got an acronym. I do love my acronyms, which is a MEALS acronym. And also to find out for contact information about him, you can look at the episode details where you can get in touch with him. So let's get started with today's podcast, where I have the great pleasure of introducing you to Ignati Dayakov. So Ignati, what would you like to talk about today?
Hello, Matthew. Thank you for inviting me today, and thank you to all our listeners who will hopefully find the next 20-25 minutes useful. I think I would like to talk about health and well-being. It seems to be quite a timely topic at the moment, given that we are all concerned about our well-being in lockdown and anxious about what we can see around us, and especially when the lockdown is eased and we are back to our normal lives. So in my head of a health coach, I think talking about holistic approach to health would be the most appropriate topic.
All right, lovely. So what's the first thing that people should start to think about in these current times?
I think the most important thing to remember is that our health is really a number of different things. It's not just about what we eat. It's not just about what pills we take. It's not just about not being ill, even. Being healthy is multidimensional. Being healthy is about having enough energy, being strong mentally, but at the same time, having a variety of emotions and being able to express them, and at the same time being physically strong and, well, stable. All of these things together in balance create health. Having enough energy to do what we want to do, to having enough energy to fulfill our dreams, and actually having dreams which become goals, that's health. And treating all of these dimensions holistically, that's the approach which we should remember about.
So how did you get into Ignati? What stirred your interest in this area?
Oh, right, yeah, that's a very good question. My background is linguistics. I was involved in consulting and teaching languages for a number of years. I studied Oriental and African studies at university, did my master's, and then started my PhD in this area before moving into a more practical area of linguistic consulting. And that's what I did in London for almost 10 years. I was involved in writing. I published a series of textbooks until one day which cancer appeared in my life when I was diagnosed with tongue cancer. And if you can imagine having tongue cancer when you are a linguistic consultant, when you talk about languages, when you talk languages, when you involved in public speaking, in teaching, it's quite a tricky thing, tricky illness to have, because your most important tool, your tongue, is affected, and you don't know what will be the consequences of that. So that diagnosis sparked my interest in health. I didn't think that just conventional methods or just conventional medicine could help me get back on track with my life. Western medicine is great in dealing with serious diseases and treating things in the most urgent way. So I've had very successful series of operations and then a round of radiotherapy. However, on top of this, I felt that I would need to do something else to get back my energy, to get rid of side effects, and to ensure that I learn to speak again, learn to eat again, and that I live a life which allows me to minimize the risks of cancer coming back. So that happened several years ago, and that's when my journey on exploration of complementary therapies and exploration of well-being, holistic health, started. I did my training as a coach, I did my training in NLP, and then I traveled to the Himalayas to study a variety of different complementary therapies, and among them Ayurveda, which is the ancient Indian medical system.
So can I just ask, so cancer is obviously a very serious thing which affects lots of people. Two questions, actually. First is, how did you know that you got tongue cancer? And then secondly, how, if you don't mind me asking, how old were you? Because you weren't particularly old, were you, when you discovered this?
No, that's right, yes. I was a 30-year-old man, very much enjoying, you know, my career and family life, and I was not thinking about being ill. There was nothing in my life what I thought would be completely wrong with me. I lived a relatively healthy lifestyle. I walked a lot, I enjoyed hiking, I ate a good healthy diet, vegetarian diet. I had some stress, as one would in business, but I never associated stress and physical disease. So when one spring, as I say, several years ago, my tongue started feeling odd. I had this burning sensation as if you drank hot coffee and you stung your tongue. But then this sensation stayed with me for days and weeks and months, and nothing changed. So I went to the doctor and they prescribed antibiotics, as they would. They didn't help, and that's at this point they sent me to hospital, where 2 weeks later I heard my diagnosis.
So it's pretty quick then.
It was pretty quick, and it was developing very very fast, to the point that in their synopsis, doctors wrote that it was a very aggressive type of cancer which jumped from my tongue to all the way to my neck.
Right.
And so it was spreading even whilst I was waiting for the operation.
Right.
And I'm incredibly grateful to my doctors, who managed to arrange operations and conduct them in a very, very speedy manner.
Right.
But yeah, cancer was pretty aggressive back then. And that's when I started realizing that stress could be a reason for it. You know, stress which creates a lot of inflammation in one's body, which makes immune system quite susceptible to diseases, and it prevents our immune system from working properly. It essentially shut off all the mechanisms which could help, which was helping the cancer spread across my body. And that's when I thought that, okay, that's the area which I can control. That's the area which I can start looking after whilst my doctors look after my physical health at that stage.
Right. So people do suffer from this, and then they have various treatments like you did. But not everybody goes off to the Himalayas to then try and discover things. So how did you get from London over to the Himalayas then? And then what happened then?
Yeah, so my quest for complementary therapies, they are not alternative, and we must remember that they shouldn't be really alternative to our conventional treatment, our Western treatment. There are things which can complement and enhance it enormously, but we should still follow the doctor's advice. But when my doctor said that there will be a number of side effects to the treatment, and there is little they can do to it apart from managing pain, but the rest is not in their control, that's when I started, well, Googling. It was as simple as that. And I first discovered acupuncture, which I'm definitely a great believer in, because I could see how it helped me through my cancer journey. And then the second thing was to learn about Ayurveda, this Indian medical system which allows you to regain energy, which allows you to detoxify your body. And radio and chemotherapies, they are toxins, right? They kill cancer cells, but they kill good cells as well along the way. We can't avoid that. And Ayurveda helps get your body and get your mind back on track. So I found this system, and then I just found a clinic in the Himalayas which said, yeah, you can come, and we have space for you from 2 months ahead, and you can stay with us for some time. So I traveled there, and I ended up staying in the Himalayas for 3 months because I just loved the place. And apart from being in the clinic, I started learning it. So that was my first foundation course in Ayurveda there in the Himalayas.
So in some parts of the world, Ayurveda is like very well known, maybe not so much in this country. How long has Ayurveda been around?
Well, it's definitely been around much longer than many other medical systems, including the system which we use at the moment. Ayurveda has been around for at least 5,000 years. At least we have some written sources from 5,000 years back. And it was developed then, but it continued developing since then, adapting and learning more and checking and using observation to see what works and what doesn't work. And the main precept of Ayurveda, which appeals to me a lot, and I know that it appeals to many other people, is that it treats pretty much everything around us as medicine, as long as it is given in the right quantity and at the right time. So food is the main medicine according to Ayurveda. What we eat can help us, can heal us. At the same time, in wrong proportions, it can be a great poison. Ayurveda also believes that every medicine is only medicine if it has no side effects. And that's how Ayurvedic treatment will, done correctly, it will not have side effects, which means it's very safe as long as it is conducted by a professional. So I experienced it myself. I stayed in the clinic for 28 days. I saw how my side effects diminish. I saw how my energy increases to the point that after 28 days, I managed to travel around the Himalayas in pretty basic conditions quite well. And it was not even a year since my diagnosis. Something which one never thought would be possible to do. So Ayurveda is about seeing what is around us, seeing what's inside us, making the connection and ensuring that we can live healthily in harmony with people around us, with animals around us, but also with the whole nature around us.
Okay, Ignati, that's really interesting. And with regards to health and well-being, and particularly like stress levels, particularly at the moment with COVID-19, I'm interested. So within the media, it would seem that one week, one particular thing is useful to people with regards to just general sort of health and well-being. You listen to the media one week and they'll tell you this particular thing or this particular drink or particular whatever, and you do this. Then that's, you know, that will help you live longer. And then the following week, some other media outlet or whatever seemed to contradict stuff. And I remember a couple of decades ago, a guy talking about this, you know, this sort of constant contradiction with regards to health and well-being. And we don't seem to be sort of getting better with regards to cancer. We don't seem to be getting better with regards to heart disease. So whatever we're doing at the moment doesn't seem to quite be working in the West, as it were. What thoughts have you got with regards to how we kind of stay focused on what's useful information for us personally?
Yeah, but it's definitely a very, very, very good question. And the amount of information in general which we're receiving, which we are bombarded with, is enormous. And that in itself, sheer volume of information is extremely stressful. Choosing from this information and figuring out what's good for us, what is not good for us, is extremely time and energy consuming undertaking. One thing which we should remember, that there is no one system which fits all. There is no one solution which will work for every single one person on this country, on this planet. We must try to be more intuitive and listen to our bodies. It's extremely hard, especially now in the West, with the Western world, which is, well, pretty much run by marketing, where we are told that we must buy this product and we must buy that product, and that this food is absolutely delicious and this food is great and this particular drink will help us be superhumans. And yet all of these things can potentially be harmful to us as a particular individual. I mean, there is a lot of talking about sugar and the amount of sugar which we are consuming without even realizing that, or amount of salt which we are consuming. So all of these things are external factors which prevent us from listening to our body. All of these are there to ensure that we just follow the advice or the solutions offered by those companies which market themselves so heavily. And yet, there is a way for us to say, stop to all of that and just listen to what is within us. And that's where mindfulness comes in. That's a simple thing. It's not about yogis or gurus who can understand something profound. Being mindful is about being able to pause and have this time with yourself when you can say, okay, actually, what do I want? Right? So, I mean, in coaching, we always talk about what a person wants, what a person can do, what is her goals or dreams, which become goals. And it's the same thing with health. What do you want? Why do you want it? How do you want it to be? When you look at a particular product on the shelf, just pausing before you take it from the shelf and asking yourself, is it what I need? Why do I need it? What will I gain from it? That's a massive tool. It's a massive thing which we as human beings blessed are with. So I would say that we really need to be very intuitive, and it might help to detoxify ourselves. And I mean, there will be a number of ways to detoxify ourselves. I don't really like dieting, and I'm not the one who would recommend a particular diet to lose weight, but there are ways to detoxify ourselves, get rid of all this over consumption of sweet and salty stuff primarily in the Western culture, to ensure that we get cleaner bodies and cleaner minds, which allow us to see what we require. What we require nutritionally, what we require movement-wise, what we require, the amount of sleep we require, for example. All of this is rather individual. We can't say that everyone requires 2,000 calories a day, everyone requires 8 hours of sleep a day, everyone must exercise for an hour a day. It's all extremely individual, and we just need to listen to ourselves. And we must remember that in the media, quite often, journalists pick up something which they believe has been researched properly, and yet they just pick up things which are literally the starting point of research. So if we want to learn more, we really need to dig deeper and not trust tabloids or, for this matter, even more solid publications without checking it against several other sources. And that's where, again, Ayurveda has been very much appealing to me, because it's been tested for thousands of years. It works. It's simple matter. It's a very, very gentle system which suggests that everything is interconnected in the world, in nature, but within us as well. And this gentle system can allow us to live a more harmonious life based on what is best for us as we know it, not as we are told.
So, Ignati, what can somebody that's listening to this podcast, what's something practical or some things practical that they can do to get started?
Yeah, so as I said, being mindful, that's one of the things, and being kind to yourself, being compassionate. Yeah, compassion is a great word which has been used a lot in the past few weeks especially, but we must remember that compassion starts with ourselves. Whatever we've done with the best intentions, right? If we've been eating more than necessary, it's been our intention to stay full, to stay comfortably fed, to stay away from hunger and deprivation. If we didn't move, the intention was to preserve our energy. What we must remember, though, is that what good intentions we might have, they might not necessarily be healthy intentions. And that's where we need to stop, pause, and think what it is what we want to achieve. Normally, the answer will be, I want to be happy, I want to be relaxed, and most likely it will be, I want to have energy to live my life to the fullest. I want to live my life so that I can help myself and help others around me. And for this, we need to look at what we can do holistically in a variety of ways. The system which I follow when I deal with my clients is I use an acronym, MEALS, M-E-A-L-S, which stands for M, movement, where I talk about what some would call exercise. I just don't like the word exercise because I believe that it scares people off. I believe that the movement is a more generic term which identifies that actually whatever movement we do, it is great for us. And there is a variety of ways for us to move. They don't necessarily mean that we have to go to gym. They don't necessarily mean that we have to cycle for 3 hours. Any movement is good. We just need to find the one which works for us. The second letter E stands for eating. It is about, again, type of diet which works for us, for our individual circumstances, for our budget. And we must remember that budget is a crucial thing in our lives. And what works with our professional life, right? I mean, what works for someone who works in the office might not necessarily work for someone who works on the construction site. So our individual circumstances, what is there, what we must consume. The third letter is A, which is about application, what we apply to our skin. Our skin being the biggest organ of our bodies, what we put on it is extremely important. And unfortunately, in the past decades, the number of products which we apply to our skin has grown exponentially. But we can't say that the quality of these things has improved. If nothing else, it actually getting more and more toxic, the things which are easily found on the shop shelves. So we have to be mindful, we have to be very, very careful about what we apply to our skin, because this way, whatever is on our skin can get straight into our bodies without pretty much any barriers. So application to our bodies, what we do, how we shower, what we apply throughout shower, after shower, makeup for ladies, all of these things are covered by the third aspect, A, application. The fourth letter of MEALS is L, and it's all about love. Love to yourself, primarily, love to others. Love to yourself is about remembering that if we can't spend time with ourselves, if we can't spend time for ourselves, most likely that it will lead to illnesses, which means that we will not be able to love others as much, and we will not be able to spare as much energy to those who are around us. So me time, self-love, relaxation, and ways to re-energize, reboot our health, that's what is covered by L. And the final, fifth letter, S. S is in all English words, nouns. It's a multiplier. Yeah, so plural, S for sleep, multiplies all the effects of previous actions, whatever actions we take within the other dimensions, be it movement, be it eating, our application, or however much time we spend for love, for me time. All of these actions will be, all of these benefits will be multiplied by sleep, by good quality sleep, which we absolutely must prioritize in our lives. And here we will talk about how to fall asleep, what to do to ensure that we can sleep properly, how many hours, because it's not that 8 hours work for everyone. Each of us will have different requirements for sleep. And again, here Ayurveda helps us to understand how much time each of us will need. So what we do in the evening, what we do in the morning, how we sleep, where we sleep, all of these things are there, all of this information is there to ensure that we sleep, and this, once we tackle this, we will be able to multiply the effects of any other positive change in our life. So MILS is a model which helps me identify whatever my clients would need to do to help them stay strong and have enough energy in the most holistic way. Movement, eating, application to skin, love and sleep.
So Ignati, if somebody wants to get in contact with you, find out more about what you do and how we help people, then how do they get in touch with you?
You can find me on social media, on Facebook and on Instagram primarily. If you search by my trade name, which is Life Sensei, Sensei is spelled as S-E-N-S-E-I. That's the Japanese word for teacher or guide. So social media, or alternatively my website, which is www.lifesensei.uk. That's where you can learn more about me, about my approach, and you can contact me and I will be very happy to answer your questions, whatever they can be, in relation to well-being and holistic approach to health.
All right, brilliant.
I'd like to thank Ignati for sharing some of his thoughts and ideas on today's subject. If you like this podcast episode, then feel free to share with those you care about. And if you haven't already, then subscribe now so you don't miss out and always get the latest episode. Thank you for taking the time to listen today. Take care and stay safe. I'm Matthew Broomhead, and this is a Proud Podcast.